thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to dive into this. These accounts of Jesus' birth are very well known. We break these out a lot of times right here at Christmas time because, you just don't preach on Jesus' birth every Sunday of the year because there are other things that we're discipling in. But because this is our time of year that we celebrate Jesus' birth, we bring these scriptures out, in a more focused way. And so in Luke chapter 2, we'll get there shortly, we're in a series called Excel. And this series has been birthed out of one of the Christmas carols. It's really In Excelsis Deo, which is Latin for glory to God in the highest. And if you'll recall, the angels, when they announced the birth of Jesus, they said, glory to God in the highest. And so it's all about like the highest. I mean, there are certain levels of glory. We know that because the scripture says that we move from glory to glory to glory. And so we know there are different levels of glory. And the angels were professing glory in the highest. There's not a level higher than that. There's a high, and there's a higher, and there's the highest. And that's the pinnacle. That's the top. That's the most. And so Paul, in talking to the Corinthians, he said, I want you to excel. In other words, I want you to take it up a notch. I want you, there's an area of your life that I want you to excel in, and it's the grace of giving. And like, we're talking about giving this whole month. And normally, this is a month where we're giving gifts and receiving. But I heard the Lord speak to us in our 21-day fast to say, focus on faith, authentic faith, family, and finances. And for the sake of the few of you that are here that have not heard this, I argued with the Lord a little bit about that because, one, I didn't want to do it, and two, I didn't think people wanted to hear it, and I might have been right in that. I don't know. At any case, I relented to the Lord because I'm like, you know, God, it really doesn't matter what I think, and it doesn't matter what the people want to hear. It matters whatever you are speaking to the people. We've always got to relent to Holy Spirit, whatever you want, Holy Spirit. And so I said, okay, I'm gonna preach this, and I don't, even this morning, I'm like, God, are you sure? Because today, I'm preaching on something that there are people who are not here that need to hear this. You know, this is a part of the year where people are traveling and going off, and they're being with their families and different types of things. You know, I get that. So God, could you have chosen a better day for the majority of people to hear this? And, you know, I didn't hear God say anything. And a lot of times I get that. When God doesn't want to answer me, when it's none of my business, he just doesn't respond to me. I'm just over here mumbling and murmuring. And God, he didn't answer. And his silence speaks a lot. His silence is, I know what I'm doing. I can do what I want to do, and this is the way I chose to do it. Just be obedient. He didn't say any of that to me, but I just kind of read it. Like I read my wife's face sometimes, or I read her silence. I've lived with her long enough that I know what those things mean. Amen. I've been a Christian long enough that I understand now that sometimes God's silence, he's actually speaking through his silence. Amen? I don't know if you follow that, but so excel means this. It means to operate at a superior level of quality or quantity. Like if you're going to excel in something, you got to take it up. You got to go further. You got to take it higher. You got to give more. You got to be invested more. That's what it means to excel in something. Take the level of excellence up. And so excelling in giving, I just want to recap the last few weeks, because this is a series on generosity. It's a series on giving. When I started this, I told you, when I was young, I did not understand the scripture. I read it, and I'm like, that's not true. Now, I was ignorant of the word, and I didn't know when I read that, that you weren't supposed to say, God, you're not telling the truth. But I'm in my immaturity in the word. I read it, and in the book of Acts, Luke writes that the disciples said, it is better to give than it is to receive. And they said, that's not just hearsay. We heard those words directly from Jesus himself. Like, that's a powerful statement. And when I read it, I'm like, that's not true. It's not better to give than to receive. It's better to receive. It's more fun. It's more profitable. I don't know. I'm just thinking this through in my young 16-year-old mind. I just been saved 6 months to a year. And so as I'm reading that, I'm like, I didn't understand it. And guess what? God didn't give me a revelation on it. I didn't even know I was supposed to have revelation. I'm just a baby, you know? And so as I'm reading the word, it was I don't know how long, but it was a pretty long period before I truly understand now it is better to give than to receive. And that only comes through a place of maturity. When I was immature in my understanding of the word, when I was immature in my understanding of material things. Because listen to me, young folks. When you're young, you are trying to acquire things. You're trying to get the car. You're trying to get the apartment. You're trying to get the girl or boy. You're trying to get, you know, the job. You're trying to acquire stuff. At my age, I've already acquired. I don't need anything. I want some stuff. I don't need anything. Like, all of my needs, most of my wants are met. And when you get to that place, it's like, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. I've recently, and I don't say this to puff me up, but what I'm saying is, like the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So Paul was just saying, hey, I'm just being an example of Christ. So follow that. If I'm following Christ, then follow that. I'm modeling for you. I've recently had numerous people to try to give me money for something that I did for them. And I'm like, no, I'm not taking that. And they're like, please. And I'm like, I'm not going to take it. Just give it to somebody else because I don't need anything. And what I did for you, it wasn't done for any other reason than I just want to bless you. I just want to help you. I just want to help you be the best version of you. And so, like, you understand? Just the thought that they were going to do it blessed me. I'm like, man, just that warms my heart that you would have. But I don't need that, so would you do me a favor? Would you take that and just use it to bless somebody else? Because it's better to give than to receive. Like, receiving that is not as joyful as what I was doing in serving people. I didn't understand that when I was young, but I get it now. I get it now. I wish I had been that smart when I was younger, but I wasn't. And it's okay for us to give ourselves grace for not knowing what we didn't know. I'm just hoping today that as I'm sharing my story, as I'm, you know, sharing a little bit of my testimony of being immature, that it helps you to go like, hey, man, I feel that way right now. I'm not as old as you are. I'm not as experienced as you are, and I don't have as much money as you do. Not that I'm rich, but I am rich. I am, and you are too. You let some of my friends and some of yours come from other countries, and I've literally had them to say, Pastor Rife, your poor people are rich. Your poor people think they're poor, and they are not poor. We are a blessed people. Amen? So what does excelling in giving look like? You know, first of all, it's about maturing. If you're going to excel, you're maturing. You're going to a different level of understanding in giving. The most valuable gift that I can give to God is myself. He does not need any of your material things. He can get that from you, and he can take it away from you. He can get it from somebody else to do the work of the kingdom. What God really wants is he wants us to completely submit ourselves to him, let him become Lord of our life, and then God has, just like we have an endless resource in God, now God has an endless resource in his people. Are you following me? Listen to me, because if you're not listening, it'll pass you by. God has an endless resource in his people. Why? Because you can't produce anything of in and of yourself. It comes from him in the first place. So if he's the endless our endless resource, and he gives us resources, it's just him funneling it right through us. That's really a beautiful concept. Second thing is this: excelling in giving means that when it comes to giving, it's an attitude of worship, not the amount, that makes the gift valuable to him. Like, it truly is. God will take less money and more heart in a heartbeat. It's not about the amount. It's about the attitude in which we give something. And if we give something and it's not with this attitude of worship, I'm telling you what, I wish I had learned these things in my 20s so that I would have understood that, hey, I'm bringing my tithe to the house of God, and I was doing it out of obedience. I was taught, you tithe, boy. If you don't, God's going to get you. There's going to be a curse put upon you. If you've had any of that training, I pray God erases that from you, because we are not under a curse. He satisfied the curse on the cross. That's why he came in that thing right there called the manger. He came and he satisfied that. But I brought my tithe to the Lord as a young boy, done it my whole life. But the majority of my first part, all of my first part of my relationship with the Lord, I was bringing it to him out of really a fear and an obedience, because I didn't want to be cursed. And then one day, somebody somehow was teaching me, maybe I was reading the scripture, and all of the sudden, I realized, oh, giving is not just something that we're required to do. Oh, that's worship. Like, when I give my wife gifts, I'm worshiping her, all right? All the religious people, either online or in the building, we don't worship it. No, when you understand worship is giving adoration and affection. I can worship my wife. I can worship Satan. I can worship God. I can worship the football team. I can worship whatever. It's just a direction of your affection. And when I realized, as much as I love to give my wife gifts and my children gifts, oh, this is that I should have that same feeling when I'm giving to the Lord, whatever that looks like. We're talking about financially in this series, but if I'm serving, that's why the scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do it, do it as unto the Lord. In other words, your hands are actually worshiping. You're worshiping with your hands. You're worshiping with whatever your ability is. All right, so if we're, this is our motive. So if we're excelling, then we're maturing. If we're excelling, then we understand our giving is not just some rote obedience to God. There's a motivation of worship. Here's the next thing. Giving to God is never meaningless. There's always a purpose for our giving. Like, until you realize giving, there's a purpose for giving. There's a purpose for money. There, if you don't have a purpose for your money, listen, Shay and I, we've been in places before that are the church that we were a part of in Atlanta was extremely wealthy. There were people there that had so much money, and they were so broken and unhappy. Their families were falling apart, and they lived in million-dollar, multi-million-dollar homes. Because if your money doesn't have a purpose, it does no good. But how many people do you know that are what we call philanthropists? That they're the benefactors, and they have tons of money, and they bless this group and that group and this foundation and that college. And so they have a mission for their money. I'm telling you what, all the way down to our children, our money should have a mission. And some of those missions are to honor God with our wealth. And some of those missions are to pay your bills. And some of the mission for that is to, you know, to go buy you a coffee at Starbucks or whatever you want to use it for. But we all have a mission for our money. And giving to God is never meaningless. I'm telling you, when you give to God, God always has a mission for the kingdom. And I truly believe, I know I'm the pastor, I'm saying this, but I have elders that can attest to this. We serve the mission of our money that we bring into this storehouse well. We don't waste money around here. Our money has a mission and a purpose in the kingdom of God. Today I want to talk to you about this one. If we're going to excel in the grace of giving, this is what it means. That when we give together, we can go faster and we can go farther than we imagined. This is about momentum. Like, when we give together, we have momentum. Your giving matters to the kingdom. It matters to this house. When you give, it helps us accomplish. As a matter of fact, I have a pastor friend, and he says, we can go at the speed of generosity. You know, they had something that they were doing. You know, pastor, when are we going to? We can go at the speed of generosity. However much we come together in our heart of generosity, that's how fast we can go, and that's how far we can go. So say this with me. When we give together, we can go faster and farther than we imagine. Well, isn't that cute? No, that's scripture. That's scripture. Say it with me again. When we give together, we can go faster and farther than we can imagine. And this is the scripture that this is born out of. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says, now all glory to God. Stop. This morning as I was going over some things for the service, I was like, man, I wish I had told people to think about how often you have heard the word glory in this series. Didn't plan that. But we're pulling out scriptures, and it's amazing how many times the word glory, glory to God in the highest, all these scriptures. So he says, now all glory to God. All glory is honor. If a football team, you know, is arrayed in glory or celebrating the glory of the team, the good old glory days, it's when they were at their highest, man. It was when they were at their peak. Their scores were the best. They were undefeated. When we say the glory has filled this place, or man, it was glorious. It was amazing. The standard of excellence was, you know, bar none. And so now all glory to God. In other words, all excellence to God, all praise, all honor to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. I want to just break it down to you for a second. It says, glory to God who is able. Who's able? He's able. He's able. What are we talking about? We're talking about this scripture, this point right here. That when we give together, we can go faster and farther than we imagine. So let's go back to the scripture. It says, now glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work. Where is it at work? In us. We can, when we do it together, when we give together, when we're generous together, we can go farther, we can go faster than we imagine that we think we can, because God is at work through us. When we are being obedient, when we're excelling, when we're maturing, he's going to do that through us to accomplish infinitely more than we might think. Now, when I was growing up, the church leaders might not have meant this, but this is the way my little immature ears received it. I'm like, come on, God. God can do infinitely, exceedingly above all that we can imagine. Come on, God, do it. You know what I was waiting for God to do? This is my Bible. I was waiting for God to whatever that blessing was. Come on, God, do it. Thank you. There it is. Reach down and pick it up. Amen. That's what I thought that scripture meant. That God does it. No, we do it. He supplies it. You follow me? Yeah. We do it. He supplies it. And he says he's able to do more than we might imagine, more than we can think, that he will do exceedingly abundantly above it. Like, he's a God of excess, honestly. He's a God of excess, more than enough. If God is not going to bless you and me with more than we need, our needs are not going to be met. God wants us to have our needs met, and God wants us to be blessed enough that we can meet other needs. And so when we look at Luke chapter 2, go ahead and turn there for a second. When we look at Luke chapter 2, you there? All right, pick up in verse 8. This is where the shepherds and the angels are having the experience out in the pasture of Jesus' birth announcement. And verse 8 says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory, there's that word again, surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. All right, stop for just a second. I'm just giving you a little background information, because sometimes from year to year, we forget this stuff. The angel is appearing to shepherds. These are not just any shepherds. These are the temple shepherds. They provide spotless lambs for temple slaughter. So these shepherd, any old shepherd, you know, out there with some goats and cows or whatever, they may not have understood this, but the angels appeared to the temple shepherds. And those shepherds understood the art, if you will, of temple sacrifice of spotless lambs. And so when the angel announces to those shepherds, and the angel said, this is going to be a sign. This is how you know you'll be in the right place. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They knew what that was about, because they would take those, like if you got a you get a precious gift, Come on, think about your Amazon packages. You got some Amazon packages before and they messed up inside? Well, that'd be the postal service probably, but Amazon, you get all those little styrofoam peanuts in it, and they got, and it's like, man, you got a box this big, all this packaging, and inside you got your gift that's this big. The reason they're doing that, they're wrapping it to protect, because that's the prize, that's the gift. What they would do to those lambs is they would wrap those lambs so that they wouldn't get blemished, they wouldn't get hurt, and they would bring those lambs to the slaughter wrapped in swaddling clothes. Whenever the angel said, you're going to find him, this is how you'll know you're in the right place, you'll see that. See, they understood seeing a baby wrapped up like that in a manger, the Lamb, behold the Lamb of God. They knew what this meant. So that's just a little bit of background there to remind us that may have needed a refresher there. But really what I want to get to right here is as they are in the field and the angels are making this announcement, verse 13 says, suddenly the angel, singular, was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, excelsis. The highest amount, glory to God, the highest level of glory. Give that to God. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward all men. And then the angels, when they had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about his child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. The shepherds went back to the flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. They were going back, glorifying, giving God highest honor. You hear glory, that word glory, just over and over. And it was just as the angel had told them. Here's the thing first thing I want to point out to you about that was, what happens when we give together? What happens when we give together? There was one single angel that comes to make the announcement, and all of a sudden the announcement is given and a host of angels appeared in the skies. So one went to millions. I don't know how much a host is, but my son-in-law was in Africa recently, and he was over there with Jesus Image, and they were doing a crusade over there. And he said, you've got to see the crowd of people. And he showed me the footage, and they had drone shots and everything. And I'm like, I don't even know what you do to a crowd with a crowd that large. I mean, there were tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of people in one location. They weren't in an arena where they could count them. There were so many, and it was so vast. And when I think of a host of angels, I think of that. Like, it's just massive. It's like, there's not one spot of ground you could see from the air. You couldn't see any ground. All you saw was people. And then in that, there would be buildings, because there was no space to walk. I don't know how you would even manage a crowd that size. So this vast host is there all of a sudden, glorifying and praising God. I mean, can you imagine what that must have sounded like? What happens when we give together? Number one, we have a magnified impact. The scripture talks about their strength in numbers. Their strength in numbers. So we have a magnified impact. So I'll give you an example. All right. So I'm going to sing, and then Shay's going to sing, and then you're going to chime in. Are you good? I know you had a little trouble. That's okay, but try it anyway. All right? So you're going to see what increasing in magnification is. All right? I'm going to turn my mic off so that I don't have an unfair advantage over them. All right? I might be giving God my highest, but the only way we can give a higher than my highest is for you to add your higher or your highest. And now my highest becomes another level of highest. And when Glenna gives hers, it's another level of highest. And when your whole group, another level of highest, another level of highest, another level of highest. And I want you to understand, these are biblical principles that when we do something together, and you understand that this is added, this principle, you can apply it to anything, good or bad. Like you can actually apply this in the negative direction. Yeah, you can do that. And there will be strength in numbers in maybe a disunity or gossip or any kind of thing like that. The biblical principle works. Good or bad, it's not the principle that's bad. It's the direction we point it or the mission of the that we give to the principle. Man, I hope you're getting this because it's good. Look. The scripture says this about warfare. It says, one, listen, this doesn't even mathematically make sense. One puts 1,000 to flight, demonic spirits. Two puts 2,000, that's the math. Puts 10,000? Okay, so now I'm not smart enough to figure this out, all right? I only got as high as algebra 2, all right? But I'm like, if I wanted to, or some of y'all could, you could figure out the formula that God is using there. Because look, it's not one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 2,000. It's a formula. It goes to 10,000. And so three doesn't, it doesn't double. So there's a formula and it's exponential every time. So you can't use logic in a basic sense. You got to find out that formula. And so you understand that when we bring our efforts together, whether it's in warfare, whether it's in unity, whether it's in disunity, wherever we point that principle and apply it to, we're going to have a greater impact. It's really about consistency too. Now, when you think about this in giving, like, listen, I've had people come and been amazing. They're like, hey, I want to give the church a gift, and they give a gift to the church. And I'm like, wow, that's such a blessing. And they never give again. And while the Lord can use that and do that, that's not really a mature giving. All right, it's really about consistency. It's about a faithfulness. How many of you know what this is? What's that? Grand Canyon. Like, I've never been there. I've been to Canyon de Chelly in Arizona, and like, it was massive. And they said it's a miniature Grand Canyon. I couldn't even stand. I'm not afraid of heights, but I could barely look over the edge because, like, dude, that makes me dizzy just looking at it. It's so massive. It doesn't even seem real. But what happens is this Grand Canyon that we're looking at on the screen, how massive it is. Some of you guys have been there. Some of you, I think Cheryl even walked to the bottom of it before. You know, I don't even know. Y'all talk to her about that. I would never walk to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Or maybe she walked down and came back up on a camel or a mule or something. I don't know. But this magnificent, beautiful canyon didn't just happen. That did not just take a few days to make. It probably started out with that. You ever thought about it?
Yeah.
It just starts out with something. And it does it again and again and again and again. And every day it's doing its thing. Hour after hour after hour after hour, it's doing its thing. And so floods come, rains rise, the river and all of that. And what you have is that beautiful canyon. When we come together, our efforts are going to be magnified. You might feel like you're, man, I'm just a little stream. I'm just telling you, I might be the little stream, but when I add another stream to it and another stream to it and another stream to it and another stream to it, we become a mighty, raging river. Shay and I grew up 10 minutes from the Mississippi River. I mean, you throw a rock, figuratively, and hit it. And if you trace that back, it's phenomenal how many tributaries and other rivers and streams add to the Mississippi. Mississippi gets all of the credit, but the river, but it would be nothing without all of the streams coming together and adding what they add. So that's what happens when we give. We have a magnified greater impact. This is the second thing. We become unified in mission or purpose. Like when we give together, what happens is we'll have a purpose. And whatever our purpose is, it could be a specific purpose or it could just be expanding the kingdom. It could be any number of things. But when we come together and we give faithfully and consistently like that river that created the canyon, what happens is we go faster and further with whatever it is that we are focusing that mission on. And so over and over and over throughout Scripture, you see the mission of giving. Bring all your gifts to the storehouse. Why? So that there will be plenty of resources in the temple. Bring all your resources so that we can build the tabernacle back. Bring your resources in Acts chapter 2. All of them were. Bring your resources because we have people that have needs in the church. And we want to help them supply food and housing and shelter and different things like that. Bring all your needs. Paul was telling the Corinthians about excelling because we have a church plant in Macedonia and they are struggling right now financially. Bring it and we're going to be unified and strong in our response to this. Third thing is this, God's glorified. When we give to God, God is glorified. Well, what does that even mean? I'm just telling you, folks, if you don't understand something, ask me. Ask somebody else. If I don't know the answer, I will tell somebody. I used to think, how is God glorified through that? He doesn't need money. He doesn't need that. Like, how is God glorified? I'll tell you how God is glorified. I have taken stuff to people that are not church folks. Do you hear me? They are not in church every Sunday. They are not folks that that worship him on a regular basis. I don't know where they were in their spiritual. That wasn't my focus. My focus was somebody told me those people needed a Thanksgiving meal or a Christmas meal, and I'm going to be a part of a group, or it might have been that they needed help with their house. We've repaired roofs and stuff like that before. And this is what they have said time and time again. God is so good. That's what it means. That you're doing it, but they're giving credit to God. I've given stuff to people and I've had them say, "Can I hug you? Can I just hug you?" Because they're so moved. And they're like, "I have been praying for this." Our giving was an answer to somebody's prayer. God gets the glory. God is eating it up, as my mama used to say. He was loving every minute of us reflecting who he is. All right, look at this. We reflect Jesus to others. When we give, Jesus came to give, to serve, and when we give, we're more like, well, this is how I say it. When we serve, we're more like Jesus than we'll ever be. When we give, we're more like the Father than we'll ever be. Let it sink in for a minute. When we serve, because Jesus said, "I came to serve. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I came to get these dirty, and I came to use these to do whatever, go wherever I can do to do it." When we're serving, we're more like Jesus than you'll ever be. Singing up here on the stage, teaching a Bible study. When you serve, and those are parts of serving, but when you serve with a servant's heart, you'll look more like Jesus than ever. When you give, you're going to look more like the Father than ever. All right? Got one more, and then we're going to close out. When we give, God's kingdom is expanded. When we give, God's kingdom is expanded. Now, when you give to the PTO, the school is expanded. When you give to your hobby, and your toys are expanded. When you give to your favorite, charity, your charity is expanded. But we're talking about giving in the kingdom sense. That when we give in the kingdom is expanded. And many times you don't even know that the kingdom is being expanded and you are making it happen. Why? Because you're giving for resources in the house, and sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we are the stewards, the pastoral team or the elders or whatever, and it's like, you know what? There's a need. We're going to fill it. You don't know it. We don't come and tell you every time that, you know, the church did this. Sometimes we do. But just know that when you give, your money that you bring from the resources that God has blessed you with has a mission. And we are using it to expand the kingdom in the name of the Lord and on your behalf. Amen? All right, so this is how you can, let's say this together, and then I'll tell you how you can apply this message. Say it. When we give together, we can go faster and farther than we imagine, because our God, who is the endless resource of everything, a source of everything, he's our resource. He'll put it in our hands. He'll put it in your business. He'll put it, listen to me, God will put it, if you have a business, he'll put it in a customer's pocket to bring to your business so that you can then be, I'm just telling you, God, he will get resources. Pastor Rife, where do you get all of this junk? Right here. He gives seed to the sower, friends. That's what the word says. I'm just telling you, God is all about prosperity in a biblical sense. He's all about prospering. Pastor Rife, I just don't like that word. Listen to me. Don't let some televangelist who has misused or abused something, or a pastor that you know, or is anybody else, don't let them mess up biblical things. The scripture says in Joel, is it 29? You'll get it. I'm fixing to say it. I get it in my head. I'm getting Joel and so my plans are to prosper you. Jeremiah 29:11. My plans are to prosper you. His plan is to prosper us. There's nothing wrong with prospering as long as we point it in a direction of hope, peace, love, and charity. Amen. Amen. So this is how you can activate it. Number one, take your giving to another level. In other words, another level of glory. You're at this place. I'm going to tell you, before I was saved and I came into the church, this level for me was nothing. I never gave. I wasn't in relationship with a community of faith, and I wasn't in relationship with God. Why would I give to something that I'm not a part of? So my level was nothing. And then I got a job, my family got saved, and we began to tithe. And my parents taught me as a child, as a teenager, you need to give 10% of that. So my first level of giving was, okay, I'm going to give 10% of my, I'm going to give $10, that's what my tithe was. I'm going to give $10 out of my $100 a week check, all right? And so that was that level. And then when I got left there, went off to college, got a different job, my salary increased, all right? So my tithe, or God's tithe, didn't stay at $10 because I had increased. My tithe was more than that, so I gave. And then somewhere along the lines, I thought, tithe is all I have to do. I didn't understand tithes, the purpose of that, and then giving in offerings. And then I realized, oh, there's those opportunities. And I'm just telling you, man, over my course of my life, I just began to mature myself in the understanding of finances and giving. And so take your giving to another level. Wherever you are, challenge yourself to go to another level. And the second thing is this: give in an adore offering today. Give an adore offering. In just a few minutes, we're going to come. We're going to put our offering in this manger here. And I've encouraged us. We celebrate Jesus' birthday. I mean, we're buying our kids and grandkids and wives and spouses and boyfriends and girlfriends all these gifts. But this is Jesus' celebration. One of the little kids asked, you know, Mom, Dad, why is it that we get presents on Jesus' birthday and Jesus doesn't get anything? Well, that's a valid question. We're just honoring him today with an adore offering. And I've challenged our church, bring your best offering. Bring your best. I'm telling you, some of y'all have blessed me. Today, in the house, Giselle and Abel, I can't imagine how, I'm just using y'all as an example because you're the only one that has shared your testimony with me. Somebody else shares me their testimony, I'll share theirs. But I can't imagine how much the Lord is blessed by you guys, because of how much it blessed me. And I'm like, I know it blesses the Lord more than it does me. But the fact that y'all are supposed to be on vacation and you're going right after church, but because of this, because you are in community with this house, because you are doing, now if you go back to that scripture that I read, that our God, all glory to God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we think or imagine in us. And then it says down there, from generation to generation. They are literally living that out. And they said, you know what? We changed our vacation plans because of the adore offering, because we wanted our children, grandkids, children, to be a part of it. And we want them to participate in it. We didn't want to leave and give it And that would have been fine. But they're doing at something. They're discipling. I'm just telling you, that is powerful. And so just a few moments, we're going to give. I'm going to sing a song, and then we're going to let you bring your offering. And then this is the third way that I think you could be a part of this. You saw this in the announcements this morning. If you are looking, don't let the title embarrass you. Well, I ain't broke, Pastor Rife. That's awesome, but some people are. If you're not and you want to grow in your finances, understanding of finances, come to this. If you've been at a place where your account, listen to me. This is going to sound judgmental, and if you don't hear it in the right heart, you're going to be offended by what I'm about to say. If your account is constantly getting overdrafted, I'm not saying once in a blue moon, but if your account is constantly getting overdrafted, you need to come to this because your account shouldn't be overdrafted repeatedly. Something's wrong. And we want to help you fix that. And I'm telling you, it's just a management issue. God wants you to live a solid, biblical, financial life because it is, listen to me, folks, it is better to give than to receive. God wants to make us givers. God wants to make us blessers. He wants you and me to be so stable that it's nothing for us to say, yeah, I have it and I'm going to give it. I'm going to help supply. I'm going to help meet that need.